Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Allied Digital Services Limited's earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and anyone who wishes to ask a question may enter star and one on their touch-tone phone. To remove yourself from the queue, you may please enter star and two. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mayank Vaswani from CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Michelle. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Allied Digital Services Limited's earnings call for the fourth quarter of financial year 2023-24. We have with us on the call today Mr. Nitin Shah, Founder and CMD, Mr. Nehal Shah, Whole-Time Director, Mr. Sunil Bhatt, Board Member and Chief Technology Officer, Mr. Paresh Shah, Global CEO, and Mr. Gopal Tiwari, Chief Financial Officer. We also have Mr. Ramanathan on today's call. We will open with comments from the chairman, following which Mr. Nehal Shah will cover recent developments across the business. Mr. Paresh Shah will then cover the operational performance and order wins, followed by Mr. Gopal Tiwari, who will walk us through the financial highlights. Thereafter, we shall open the call for the Q&A session. Before we begin, I would like to point out that some of the statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature, and a disclaimer to this effect has been included in the earnings documents that have been shared with all of you earlier. I would now like to hand over the floor to our chairman, Mr. Nitin Shah, for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Mayank. Good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for taking time out to attend our earnings call. The first important thing that I would like to announce, we are very pleased to give 30% dividend this year to all our investors and shareholders. Very important thing, milestone about our company this year is that we are completing 40 years. So we have come a long way, starting from 1984, before PC era, where we were supporting mainframe computers, to what you are seeing today, which I consider is a post-PC era, because people are using now access devices like tablet, notebook, mobile phone and all to do a business transactions. We have done very well in Indian territory. Very good wins, hiring and recruits, though we are very cautiously growing, and we have selected only those kind of deals which help us making our bottom line more powerful. So always we are not too much top line driven company, and we are quite satisfied, and we have been able to get 15% of EBITDA margin in Indian business, which we are now aiming to improve or increase up to 20%. Important thing that we have done in last quarter is that we have renamed our EDITAS, which is a software as a services kind of platform, which is very important for us. We have renamed it as Digital Desk and have added a lot of features on artificial intelligence and automation. As you know that the world is changing very fast, the productivity tools are also becoming more and more powerful, and the latest innovation which is coming from Google, Microsoft and all, in terms of using generative AI, prompt engineering and LLM. So we are incorporating those features to make our EDITAS platform, which is now renamed as a service, a digital desk, as more robust, which will help our client to do a lot of automation. And now I'm introducing Mr. Ramanathan, who will be talking about himself. He has been in our company to have a strategic role in terms of expansion globally, our company, and bring a lot of innovations in the business model. Mr. Ramanan, you can introduce yourself.
Thank you, Nitin ji, and it's wonderful to be part of this particular call, and thank you everyone for joining in. As mentioned by Nitin ji, I'm delighted to be part of the strategic team of Allied Digital. By way of background, some of you may know me, but I've been the mission director for the Atal Innovation Mission, which was a national mission to drive innovation and entrepreneurship across the length and breadth of the country. I was as an additional secretary at the NITI Aayog, and this particular mission, the Atal Innovation Mission, was a direct responsibility of the PMO, the Prime Minister's Office. And essentially, over the last 6-7 years, I've been actively associated with how do you ensure innovation, entrepreneurship, not just in governmental organizations, but also in the private sector, in universities, in schools, in NGO institutions, and in large corporates. Before that, I was the managing director and CEO of CMC Limited. Some of you would be aware that CMC was Computer Maintenance Corporation. It was a Government of India organization that was acquired by the Tata Group in 2001. And I led it as the MD and CEO until 2016 when it was amalgamated into TCS. And I've been part of TCS since 81 when I joined the company. I superannuated from TCS in 2021 as the senior vice president of the company. So that's my background. And as Nitin ji said, there is a tremendous opportunity for infrastructure management services as well as related IT services in the next few years as a result of all the changes that are happening in technology and with AI-powered systems and AI-driven infrastructure management services. The future looks exciting, and I hope to play a contributory role in the growth of Allied Digital.
Thank you, Mr. Ramanan. Now I will hand over it to Mr. Nehal to speak about operational aspect of Allied Digital.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Good afternoon to everyone. Thank you for taking time to join our earnings call. I trust that all of you had a chance to review our earnings document, which was shared earlier. I would like to begin by highlighting a significant milestone in our journey. We recently completed our 40th anniversary as an organization. From simple beginnings and through many stages of evolution, we have grown to serve global and multinational clients as well as emerge as pioneers in the smart city space. This transition reflects our deep commitment to innovation, excellence, and our ability to adapt to the ever-changing landscape. Moving to the operational highlights, I am pleased to report that the business environment in India continues to be buoyant, as we indicated in the previous call. Towards the end of the quarter, the upcoming election season did cause some slowing of decision-making in the short term, which we believe will carry forward into quarter one. Thereafter, we are confident that the awarding of government projects will resume. We have reported a number of new wins and renewals, which have enabled us to add orders worth over 300 crore in quarter four. Customers in global markets are feeling pressure of the overall macro environment, which concerns around intensifying inflation combined with related uncertainty and driving belt tightening. As a result, even as business opportunities continue to be abundant, customers are indicating highly aggressive expectations in terms of pricing, which is resulting in a mismatch of sorts and elongating the decision-making cycle. As expectations are rebalanced on both sides of the value chain, we believe that activity levels will begin to pick up once more. Another key development to highlight this quarter has been the rebranding of our SaaS platform Aditas to Digital Desk. And we expect these refreshed offerings, which continues to see upgrades and enhancements, to enjoy greater recognition and adoption by the potential customers. Our teams have been actively deploying these tools across operations, contributing to our development momentum. Coming to our performance of quarter four FY24, we reported consolidated revenues of rupees 177 crore, growing 4% on quarter-over-quarter basis. With this, the growth in our domestic business has been strong double-digit kind of growth, and outlook remains buoyant. However, given the backdrop in global markets that I just covered, especially the US, the blended growth is more moderate. The revenue split by geography shows a clear outperformance of India business, which has grown 33% year-over-year in quarter 4 FY24 and by 51% year-over-year in FY24, the whole year. The revenue split by segment reflects a strong momentum in the solution business, which constitute 21% of our revenues in quarter 4 FY24 compared to 12% in Q4 FY23. This has been driven by the progress of smart city projects in Lucknow and Solapur, which have moved into advanced implementation stage. As a result, revenue split by customer type shows that revenues from government customers constitute around 21% of our overall revenues in Q4 FY24 compared to 13% Q4 FY23. Before I close, I would like to share that we are also seeing interesting opportunities emerging in the Middle East. We believe the markets here are attractive and customers have the right mindset towards digitalization and next-gen technologies. Earlier this month, we have incorporated a subsidiary company, Allied Smart IT Infrastructure Services LLC, and set up a sales office in Dubai. With that, I would like to hand over to our global CEO, Mr. Paresh Shah, to share key insights about the operational performance and key developments during the quarter.
Thank you, Nehal. A very good afternoon to everyone. I will now brief you through the operational performance and key developments during this quarter. A key highlight for this quarter has been our ability to generate additional revenues from existing customers, a practice we refer to as FARMI. This success has been aided by a steady pace of renewals. Additionally, we have a healthy pipeline of deals totally approximately $26 million in TCV with a projected closure in the next 3 to 6 months. During this quarter, we secured several significant orders, which I will walk through them. First, a bank, a subsidiary of the Spanish group headquartered out of Boston, has selected Allied Digital to provide managed services for the bank and consumer field services support organization. Operating in the northeastern United States, this bank offers a wide range of financial services, including personal and business banking, commercial banking, and wealth management. Our scope includes on-site dedicated resources for predefined locations and dispatch to branches as required. Additionally, we are setting up a walk-up support, a genius bar, tech bar, and a kiosk support to enhance the user experience. Next, a subsidiary of BP Americas focused on oil and natural gas exploration and production has selected Allied Digital, and it is headquartered in Denver, Colorado, and operating primarily in Texas and Louisiana. This customer requires streamlined production technology support, including PCs, laptops, ruggedized handheld devices, IoT devices, sensors, and SCADA endpoints. We are also performing a technology refresh project in the first 3 months to upgrade their devices and software. The third important one also, additionally, we won a contract with a global infrastructure firm headquartered in Dallas, Texas. This customer provides design, engineering, construction, and management services across several sectors, such as transportation, water energy, and environment projects. They have chosen Allied Digital to provide managed services for 20,000 end users in the Asia-Pacific region, spanning 17 countries. Our scope includes desk-side support, smart hand support, on-demand dispatch, and asset management. Lastly, to add, we have partnered with Enercon, a leading German wind turbine manufacturer headquartered in Aurich, Germany, known for their pioneering technology and innovative designs. Enercon specializes in the development, production, and maintenance of wind energy converters. We also will streamline their IT operations in the German production facilities, providing factory IT support, corporate support, and remote support for all their European offices. These orders wins highlights our commitment to deliver comprehensive and innovative solutions to our clients across various industries and regions. Talking about India, in January 2024, we were selected as an MSI for integrating CCTV surveillance with the existing ITMS control room for the Ayodhya Smart City project. This project gained a lot of prominence, includes setting up a multi-location CCTV surveillance system. The capital expenditure and implementation phase is expected in next 3 months, followed by a 5-year operational and maintenance period. In February 2024, we received a letter of intent for Taloja Smart Industrial City contract in Navi Mumbai. This groundbreaking initiative will span an 18-month implementation phase followed by a 60-month operations and maintenance period. The product ranges from the CCTV surveillance command and control center, and also it includes the corporate headquarters, as well as the industry township. The ICCC software will seamlessly integrate with the cloud-based data center and disaster recovery system. Additionally, the project involves deploying a cutting-edge CCTV-based surveillance system to enhance security and monitoring capability. These order wins underline our commitment to deliver comprehensive solutions in the smart city domain also. Next, I am pleased to share that we have also witnessed significant traction in our cybersecurity offerings with the addition of new customers towards the end of this quarter. As you know, we have been strengthening our partnerships with large IT service firms and global consulting firms to jointly serve customers. These partnerships have led to significant inflow of new customers, including several marquee global names. Over the past 2 or 3 years, we have built a richer client mix and a more comprehensive track record. Now we are refining our direct sales and marketing channels in further expanding our business this year. As mentioned by Nihal, we are optimistic about the opportunities in the pipeline. Although delays in customer decisions have extended the time to close contract in recent months, we expect to see better traction in the IT business. The momentum in the US market is likely to be accompanied by growing interest in the European and APAC markets in the coming quarters. With that, I would like to hand over to our CFO, Mr. Gopal Tiwari, to cover the financial highlights for the quarter under review.
Thank you, Paresh bhai, and good afternoon, everyone. I'll now quickly cover the financial highlights for the period under review. For Q4 FY24, consolidated revenue was Rs. 177 crores, higher by 4% on a QOQ basis from Rs. 171 crore in Q3 FY24 and higher by 6% YOY from Rs. 166 crore in Q4 FY23. Consolidated EBITDA for the quarter was Rs. 24 crore as compared to 21 crore in Q3 FY24. Consolidated EBITDA was higher by 30% on YOY basis from Rs. 19 crore in Q4 FY23. We have reported an improved EBITDA margin of 14% in Q4 FY24, higher than 12% in Q3 FY24 and 11% in Q4 FY23. Profit after tax for Q4 FY24 was Rs. 13 crore as compared to Rs. 12 crore in Q3 FY24 and Rs. 10 crore in Q4 FY23. As Nitin bhai just mentioned, I am pleased to inform that board of our company have declared the highest ever dividend at rate of 30% for the year ended 31st March 2024. The bright spot in our financials this year has been the strong performance of the India business. This is best represented by our standalone financial performance for FY24. Standalone revenue were Rs. 287 crore, a 36% increase from Rs. 210 crore last year. EBITDA was Rs. 43 crore, up by 113% from Rs. 20 crore. The EBITDA margin was 15% compared to 10% in FY23. Profit after tax was Rs. 22 crore as compared to Rs. 9 crore in FY23, higher by 138% YOY basis. Now, due to project-based funding requirements, gross debt increased to about Rs. 60 crore as against Rs. 51 crore at the end of FY23. The liquid cash position has improved to 127 crore compared to 77 crore as of last year and increased by Rs. 50 crore. We continue to be debt-free on a net basis since last year, and our net cash position has improved to Rs. 67 crore against Rs. 26 crore end of the last year. In our pursuit of continued working capital efficiency, DSOs have further reduced to 81 days as against 84 days last year, and we will endeavor to improve this further. With this solid financial foundation, we are well equipped to fund our growth initiatives and deliver sustainable value to our stakeholders. Thank you. I will now ask the moderator to open the forum for Q&A session.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may enter star and 1 on their touchtone phone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may enter star and 2. Participants are requested to use only answers while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. You may please enter star and 1 on your touchtone phone to ask questions. The first question is from the line of Narendra from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so Congratulations on a good set of margin performance. So my first question would be, is this margin sustainable? And if yes, so where do we go on from here? So in the next couple of years, how much more improvement is possible? If you could give an idea about that.
I think we are quite satisfied with the current margin, but our aspiration, our aim, we should take it up to 20%. More and more higher income growth that we try to plug in, I'm sure we'll be able to improve our margins.
Okay, all right. And we had an ask. Sorry?
15% what we have achieved looks good from current market.
Okay, great. And my second question is regarding our revenues, right? So they have been a constant over the past few quarters. So we had an ambition of 1,000 crores by FY25 or 26 end, I guess. So when do we expect that run rate to come in? And also we had a few deals that were expected to be signed in the first in the Q4. So where are we on that? And any idea when the 250 crores kind of revenue could come in every quarter?
So, Narendra, we haven't changed our target of the 1,000 crore in the next 2 years. We are still on that. From the operation perspective, I don't see that we should not be reaching there. However, deals that are there in the global market are taking a little bit timing, little bit more time to close. We are in the high negotiation stages with them. And hopefully, we'll have some wins probably either this quarter or next quarter. While I just spoke about the Middle East operation that we started in Dubai, there also we are talking in advanced stage with a large bank and we should be able to get some news on that probably by this month end or mid of next month. So we are absolutely on target to reach the 1,000 crore mark, and I don't see that not happening in the next 2 years.
Okay. All right. Just to clarify, so the deals are getting postponed, right? It is not that it is being given to someone else or something like that.
Yeah. So what is happening is that so these are getting postponed. So incumbent vendor is getting extension maybe by 3 months or 6 months. That's why the delay is there. Because of the uncertainty in the US and the inflation running so high, and US also going in elections this year, people are just keeping a tight watch on what is going to happen. So sometimes they are just extending the contract of their current incumbent vendor by a quarter or two, and they are still negotiating with us to, you know, get a better perspective. But I am sure that that should stabilize in the coming 1 or 2 quarters, and we should be getting in more orders. While the inquiries are still strong, so if you look at our pipeline, the pipeline is growing and there is no shortage of inquiries that are coming in. But of course, there is always, so whenever you get a new customer, there is a price and margin pressure that is going to be there. And we are always on the task to make sure that our margins are kept intact and we just don't pick up orders with low margins. That's our strategy, and I think we will continue to do that.
Okay. And in your opening remarks, you mentioned that you had a $26 million pipeline to be executed over 3 to 6 months, right? Am I right? I heard that right.
So that pipeline that we spoke is only from the US perspective in the near short-term deals. That doesn't cover the Indian pipeline that we have. So the pipeline put together in the next 1 or 2 quarters is going to be more than that. But we are in advanced negotiation stages everywhere. For example, like the Indian government, there are close to about 2 or 3 tenders that we have already applied for but are awaiting a result. Because of the elections, everything is pushed post mid of June. So we will see a lot of traction in the next quarter, and we'll keep you guys updated as and when we have got significant wins. We'll have press releases done accordingly.
So keeping in mind the current status of your operations, the current orders that we have, what kind of revenue growth can we see this year if you could provide us that number?
So generally, we don't give you the growth perspective. The idea is to, of course, outdo what we have been doing for the previous 3-4 years, and we will continue to do that. And that's what the target is. While internal, we have got very obvious targets, but for the market, we have tried to make sure that we outdo what we have been doing for the previous 3-4 years.
Okay. Thanks, and all the best.
Thank you. Anyone who wishes to ask questions may enter star and one on their touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Divyang from Navkar. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity. Hello.
Yes, sir, please proceed.
Yeah, please go.
Yeah, I was just asking one question. What is the current order book at the end of FY24? Total order book in hand to be executed?
See, actually speaking, the kind of businesses we are in, we don't maintain as such a typical order book position because we have got a lot of farming goes on. I mean, one customer or, yeah.
So thanks, Gopalji. I just take that up. Divyan, the problem with our kind of business is that I cannot give you a concrete order book because if a number that I spill out now, most of the time we have seen that our investors divide that number over a three or five years. But what happens during the course of the year is that we do a lot of farming that is getting more business from our existing customers. There are projects that come up which are not a plan of that order book because those projects come, some of them are short-term projects which get over within a quarter or within 2 quarters. So coming up with an order book number, we have seen typically it doesn't give the correct picture. So instead of that, what we are focusing is to outdo our previous growth is what we are telling to all our investors. Because I can tell you a number right away, but that number will not make any sense. Reason is because the orders that we have won over the years, there are a lot of billing that also keeps on happening. And because of that, an accurate number is always a challenge.
Okay, but normally each and every IT company provides order book in hand. If it is not possible, then how can we judge what is the order book and if that much percentage is going to execute it, how can we take a target for the year?
I can give you a number. I can give you a number stating we currently have about 1400 crore of order books in hand, but what will happen that will not be correctly said if I say that it will be executed in next 3 years. So reason being, because during the year we will have a lot of renewals that will take place, and that numbers I cannot add in this current order book. And the new orders that we've been over the year will also not be added in this. So however, for a number,
I would put it in this way. We have a lot of annuity business, and that is making our company very strong financially. So beginning of the year, we have certain business already booked. For example, 1400 crore that we talk about is, I think, almost booked for 3 to 4 years. And all the effort that we put in currently is going to only add up there because we do only annuity business, services business. In US, we don't supply product. So we have a very good pipeline currently, and all any business that we get now onwards will be addition to that pipeline.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah.
That is all from my.
Thank you.
A reminder to all the participants that you may enter star and one to ask questions. The next question is from the line of Pratik Dedia, from an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Please proceed.
Okay, sure. So in your presentation, in your opening remarks, you mentioned that you are looking to increase the margins on the government contract. Can you give a little bit more idea how is that going to happen? What factors are going to lead to increase margins on the government project? And also, second part too is there any payment issues with government contract?
Second part I'll tell you, because being in the industry for 40 years, I can tell you, we never used to earlier, about a decade back, used to work with government. Things have got completely changed now. They cannot stop payment of ours, provided we meet their deadlines or SLAs, and there is a compulsion. So I think it's far, far superior and better. The right kind of companies would always get the payment. So though we do very selective government contract and government new business very cautiously, and we have not lost even single money till now in last almost about 10 years. So that is number two. Number one, when we bid for government tender, there is stringent pre-qualification requirement. So number of players are not so many. So we feel that when to win that, probably capex we might have to put if required so, and we might have to be very competitive. But subsequently 5 years, that's where we earn money. So operational maintenance is our forte, and we have been providing unmatched support to all our existing customers. So we try to figure out that we try to put more margins on the subsequent 5 years. That's how we are working on that.
Just to add to what sir said, apart from the government business, the increase in EBITDA and other margins will happen when we start selling our software product, Digital Desk, which is just recently renamed and rebranded, and we are seeing a lot of traction on that happening from a margin perspective. And from payment, I just wanted to add one more thing, that all the projects that we are doing currently are from the homeland security perspective. So it's for the security of the nation that the projects are getting implemented. So government understands, and they realize that if there are any payment delays and some of the things are not functioning because of that, it will cause a huge chaos if there is an incident that occurs. So they are also very, very proactive when it comes to payment release. Rather, we have seen that most of the times, even the government authorities are very quick in responding to any kind of queries that we have regarding payment. And the payment generally are absolutely on time. When I say on time is that when we raise a bill, we generally get it anywhere between 60 to 90 days. That's how it is.
Okay, got it. All right. So my second, just to follow up, you mentioned that you generate margins on the O&M part. So are there specific O&M contracts also being where you are bidding for the projects that you've implemented, and outside of projects that you probably not implemented, but there are O&M contracts also being there are options going on for O&M contracts as well. So that is what I wanted to understand.
That's a good question, Pratik. We
constantly keep on harping that O&M is our core strength. IMS business is the core strength of ours that we've been doing for years altogether. And there are a lot of large opportunities that are coming to us for O&M of the already executed projects by some other vendors. So, however, we are being picky and choosy regarding which ones to apply for. But you are right, there are a lot of opportunities at hand, and we are the right partner that most of our competitors also feel when it comes to doing the O&M, because the O&M that we have done for our existing projects has been absolutely outstanding. Continuously giving more than 98-99% uptime quarter over quarter, year over year for the last 8-10 years has shown our strength when it comes to O&M.
So, got it. Okay.
I hope I have answered your question.
Yeah, yeah. And can I ask one more question?
Please go ahead.
Okay. In your existing projects which you are implementing for the government, on the O&M side, once the O&M part gets over, say suppose you have an execution project of CCTV cameras where you've done say 2 to 3 years of implementation, and then post that 5 years of O&M is completed. Do you get automatic O&M after that as well, or the government takes over?
So in most cases, generally what happens is government tends to extend. For example, in our Pune project, which we had for 5 years, the 5 years got over way back in 2021, but so far we have been still supporting for the next, after that we have supported for next 4 years. And we see that trend continuing in all the existing projects as well. The only issue comes up when after 9 or 10 years, most of your hardware that you have implemented goes end of life is when they come up with a new RFP. But other than that, we see that the extension of O&M generally tends to take place with the incumbent vendor year over year. So that's not a challenge. And the more O&M gets extended, it is beneficial for us. We can better our margins as we get a large scale. So a period of 8 or 9 or 10 years helps us in improving our margins as well. And that's why you see that a lot of our margins in India business have improved. The EBITDA has improved over years.
Got it. Okay. And can you give some ballpark on O&M contract margin, if that's possible?
So generally, the gross margin are anywhere ranging from 25%-35%.
Got it. And then at an EBITDA level?
Sorry?
EBITDA level.
EBITDA levels, I will have to come back to you. Maybe in the range of mid-teens.
15.
Mid-teens, yeah.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tushar Vasuja from Yogya Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Sir, your audio is low. Can you increase the volume?
Is it good now?
Sir, please proceed.
So thank you for the opportunity. I just had one question, sir. We have some 130-odd crores of cash in our hands. I just want to know how we are planning to utilize that.
So there are two things, Tushar, that we have. One is, of course, we have kept that reserves for any large contract that we get, either from government or from initial contracts. So we can invest that money, and we don't have to run around to raise the capital. Apart from that, other thing that is happening, other than that, we are also constantly looking at inorganic growth avenues. So if something significant comes up, we could be using that cash to do that as well. So inorganic growth is like doing any kind of acquisitions.
Okay. And do you have any opportunity in mind right now, speaking of inorganic growth? Are you looking at some other venture?
So we have kept our eyes and ears open for companies in the cybersecurity and the cloud arena. If we get something significant which suits our business lineup and our growth, we will go forward for it. Right now, it's in a very novice stage. Once we have something more significant, we will share it with our investors.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tushar.
Thank you, sir. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants that you may please enter star and one to ask questions. The next question is from the line of Shweta from Vogabe Advisors Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. Am I audible now?
Yes, ma'am, you're audible.
Yeah. So first of all, I would like to congratulate the whole team for the journey so far. My first question is, as we see the balance sheet, there is a debt gone up. So why the reason behind this? Can you please explain?
So ma'am, most of the debt that has gone up is regarding the project loans that we have taken to execute our smart city projects. So those are all working capital or short-term debts, which project loans which will reduce as soon as we go live with the project and we start getting the money back. So otherwise, we are completely net debt-free, and we don't intend to have any long-term loans debt in the company.
Okay. Because we are seeing that the cash balance is also increasing. But at the same time, the debt is also gone up. That's why the question is. So my another question is, that is the reason that cash balance is increasing and debt is also gone up?
No. So debt is only for project loans.
How come the cash balance so increased?
Ma'am, this cash balance is on a consolidated balance sheet perspective. So there is some cash lying in our U.S. subsidiary also and some with us as well. And we have kept this money to make sure that if there is any large opportunity that comes up, we don't have to run around to take money. However, for doing our regular business, at times when we want to work on multiple projects, if there are any projects that come up and there we see a finite period of time that we require cash, we go to the bank and we take short-term project loans. And that keeps our war chest always ready so that if there is anything that comes up, we can leap on it.
To add to that, we are into that smart city projects. The ticket size for those projects are generally in hundreds of crores. So we want to keep ourselves always prepared to take care of any eventuality, any sudden win, or anything coming to our lap. So we should not be running here and there to get the fundings at the last moment. So that gives us a lot of confidence in bidding for large projects also.
Okay. Okay. So my next question is, how is the as our understanding that smart city businesses gives 12% margin, and as you talk in your earlier commentary that India's business giving margin of 15%. So what is Allied doing differently to realize this margin?
I am not sure from where the 12% margin of smart city has come in. We have always been stating that smart city has been a good churn of margins for us. The reason for us to get better margin is that we don't use any third party. We have our core team who will go and implement the projects. The O&M is also done by ourselves. We have people onboarded on our payroll. We don't outsource any of these activities. That gives us a lot of leverage in improving and increasing our margins.
Okay. Okay, so has billing started? My next question is, has billing started on Taloja and Ayodhya smart city orders, or there was a part second order for Ayodhya? So when can we expect that?
So ma'am, for newer projects like phase 2 and other things, we will have to wait for the second quarter once the government is formed. Until then, there is a silent period that is going on right now. So more about it, probably in the next quarter meeting that we have, we'll give you an update. Regarding the billing, yes, we have done close to about 8-10% of our billing for both the projects put together in the last quarter.
Okay. So can I ask one more question?
Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you. Why has Aditas been rebranded? What is the customer traction there, and will it be made into a separate company?
Yeah, so Aditas has been rebranded to Digital Desk. We see a lot of traction. We have 100 plus customers directly and indirectly on Aditas. Okay, either they are buying our services or bundling the product directly. And this is all global. So we see a lot of traction. We wanted a more focus on our brand. We have named this, so that's why, as a Digital Desk. I'll also update you that the last quarter has been more focused on to enhancing the product line also into AI, where we have both come up with conversational AI as well as generative AI. This is primarily to improve the end user productivity in terms of automation of workflows and processes, and we see that this bot platform will take up another leap for Digital Desk, which is now renamed now.
Very importantly, Aditas, while we used to talk, people were not able to understand. They used to mix up with Adidas. So it was slightly difficult to pronounce it also and to remember. So we will open this new name contest to all our employees. The best opinion which came was of Service Desk. It looks very relevant today. I'm sorry, Digital Desk. Because everything that we do digital on that, automation and all. So I think we thought all of us were in sync to say that let's rename that as a Digital Desk. So it was a very conscious moment, you know. Nothing to do with that we want to offshoot or hive out or something at the moment.
Okay. And my last question is, can there be a further improvement in debtor days?
Yeah, DSO, we have improved a lot in last few years. So we have this year also we have further reduced from 84 to 81 days, and our endeavor is always there to improve it further.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you.
Participants, you may enter star and one to ask questions on your touchtone phone now. The next question is from the line of Samira Mitha, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Very, very good afternoon. Thanks for giving me the opportunity. I can see in the investor presentation that this quarter we received two smart city projects, right? And so far we have completed 14 projects, right?
Correct.
So we have completed 12, and addition to this is the 14. So 12 into 14.
Okay. Sir, I want to know what is the opportunity size do you see in the smart city project in the next 2 to 3 years? I mean, what is the outlook that you have seen regarding the tenders, and have you applied for any of the tenders?
Thank you, Samira, for joining in. I'll just answer that quickly. I had previously stated in my call as well that we see a lot of traction coming up in the smart city. If you remember, 10 years back, Mr. Modi had announced 100 smart cities. The next phase to that is going to be 1,000 most small town cities which will become smart. So we are seeing that every city would be in the range of 30 to 50 CR. So that leaves us to an opportunity of about 50,000 crore to work on in the next 5 years. And I think that's the market size, or that's the kind of size that we are looking at currently. And from further smart city implementation, projects perspective, quarter one was a little silent period due to elections. So there are a lot of new smart cities that are going to be coming up in the pipeline, for which our team has already started working on. And we will be starting applying for those, or rather bidding for those tenders in the second quarter, June, July, August.
And sir, how many other players are also there in the same field? I mean, I want to know the competitive intensity in the bidding.
Thank you. So that's again a good question. We see 5 or 6 of these large companies who bid for this kind of contracts. Some of them to name are L&T, KEC, NEC, Honeywell are the ones that bid alongside us, and we compete. In some cases, we compete with them. In some cases, we bid jointly with them. So it's a quite sorted market. Not more than 6-7 players we have seen so far working and bidding on this kind of large projects.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pratik Dedhia, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Okay, thanks for the opportunity again. I wanted to understand on the data center side, so what are you doing and what are the future projects that you're looking at on the data center side?
So you talk about we providing data center services, or we provide data center build. So we are very much active when it comes to build and operate as far as data center is concerned, but we are not going to be in the market where we build our own data center like another hyperscaler or very large players and compete with them. It's a highly capital intensive business, and we do a lot of skill intensive business. So every data center, anybody else makes it, we will be there to support them or build them. So we are in data center on the build side of it, not in terms of renting it out.
Got it. Okay.
I hope I'm understood.
Yes, yeah. And do you provide data center services as well?
So we generally, for example, for all our smart cities, we have built data centers and command centers at the respective locations. So typically, even for our enterprise customers, we do manage their existing data centers. And even if they want to go on the cloud journey, we have them in that migration journey as well. So yes, all of that we do. The only thing, as rightly said by our chairman, is that we don't intend to get into the business of operating data centers and giving those data centers out on rent. Apart from that, from
2 decades of practice on building data centers, and we have got very large clients for whom we have built data centers.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you for your participation and engagement during this call. If you have any additional questions or require further information about our company, please reach out to our team or contact CDR India. We look forward to interacting again in the next quarter. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, members of the management. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Allied Digital Services Limited, that concludes this conference. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.